But we are following up on the international news wires reporting on an Israeli retaliation on Iran. Reuters is reporting that the U.S. received advance notice of Israel's reported strike on Iran, but did not endorse the operation or play any part in its execution. That's Reuters reporting, NBC and CNN in the United States. There's also a report from Reuters saying that the Iranian senior commander says there's no damage caused in the reported overnight attack. No damage was caused, says a senior commander of Iran's army, adding that the noise heard overnight in Isfahan was due to air defense systems targeting a suspicious object. We'll try and bring you more on that as soon as it comes in, but also still trying to get hold of Sean Shelley talking about South Africa's heroin crisis. There's a 2010-20 report that says that daily heroin use in South Africa ranges between a low mark of 215,000 people and a high mark of 425,000 people. That's the estimated range. It represents about 1% of the entire adult population. If we use that upper limit of 425,000 heroin users, there's a report by the Journal of Illicit Economies and Development that says that the annual consumption in South Africa was estimated to be between 78,000 kilograms and 155,000 kilograms. This quantity is roughly equivalent to the weight of two Airbuses, A320 jets, that are used by South African Airways. Sean Shelley is a consultant on drug policy. Really appreciate your time. Is South Africa sitting with a heroin use epidemic? Sean, good morning.
Good morning, Lester. South Africa certainly has got an increasing number of heroin users in the country. We've also got an increasing number of methamphetamine users, but it's been coming for quite a while. Methamphetamine has spread up from the Western Cape into the northern areas of the country, and we've seen heroin emerging both in Durban, Etiquini area, Tshwane area, and Cape Town area over several years.
But there are some researchers that believe that the severity of our heroin crisis is being overlooked, partly because of what they say is misleading narratives about the issue. What would be some of those narratives?
So, in particular, the rise of the so-called Niopi, which is heroin, and the misinformation around that being ARVs or it being a mixture of other drugs, it's very similar to the heroin that you get in other parts of the world, in Europe, and that emanates from the Middle East. So that was one of the big problems, because people weren't using evidence-based methods for treating it or for dealing with the problem. We see an improvement in that now, but it's still far behind where it should be at this stage.
Because we use the words interchangeably between which region we're in. Niopi would be used in Gauteng, sugars in KZN. We would use the word Unga here in the Western Cape. So all words to describe largely the
heroin.
Same substance.
Basically, all to describe heroin. And, that's led to a lot of confusion. And that's one of the problems. You know, people who use drugs weren't really consulted in a lot of this research. And so, you know, if you've got a person who used drugs for a while, in particular heroin, they'll tell you that, you know, you don't go to a dealer and ask for heroin as opposed to Niopi. You ask for Niopi and you get heroin, you know. It's the same thing.
You and I have spoken quite often on this show about harm reduction, on needle replacement programs, on safe spaces for people to consume, to deal with a substance dependence problem. And there have obviously been pushbacks on people saying, why do we even entertain, if we do have a heroin crisis in South Africa, why do we also entertain spaces for people to consume, places for people to consume? But you argue that in evidence that shows that increased criminalization and of substance dependent people is not necessarily the right strategy to deal with substance dependence, people being hooked, particularly on heroin?
It's a useless strategy. It hasn't worked. You know, they spend $100 billion a year around the world trying to stop drugs, and it hasn't worked. And the problem is, once you've got a large percentage of the population or a large number of people who are dependent on a drug, if you had to cut the levels of heroin coming into the country now, which would be very, very difficult to do, almost impossible, and you did manage to restrict it, you would see other problems coming up, like increased levels of contaminants like fentanyls or synthetic opioids, which we've saved from because people do have a supply of heroin. In the Ukraine, where they did manage to cut down the supply of heroin, people started manufacturing desamorphine, which caused necrotic tissue, you know, fingers to drop off and that kind of thing. They call it the zombie drug, you know. But it's just a product of not having a supply of what people have learned to use and what they rely on. I'm not saying I'm encouraging the use and distribution of heroin, but, you know, we know that if people really are serious about helping people who are dependent on heroin, giving them pharmaceutical heroin solves a lot of problems. You know, we've seen that in Switzerland and other countries to great success.
If 155,000 kilograms of heroin is being consumed on an annual basis in South Africa, obviously it's not produced in its raw form in this country. We're talking about very, very lax ports, and customs officials on seeing these drugs, these substances, enter into South African ports, Sean.
So remember that one of the ways that they bring the drugs into the country is they just take a bale full of drugs, they bring them down the coast a little bit and drop them in the ocean, and they get carried by the currents with a transmitter in them. A boat just goes off the coast and picks it up. That's one way of doing it. There's no ways that you can actually effectively police something like that with such long coast we've got. You know, I think there was a few million rands worth of cocaine washed up on the beaches of Mossel Bay a little while ago. The same thing is, you know, you've got so many containers coming into the country, you can't check all of them. It's impossible. No country in the world can do that. You know, the vast majority of drugs that pass into the United States via the post go undetected, like sort of 90% of it. So it's not South Africa alone that's got porous borders. Our borders are no more porous than many other countries, but to try and stop the influx of drugs through the borders is virtually going to require a close down of all trade.
It is an election season, and we'd want politicians and political parties to talk about what their thoughts are and their plans are. The South African government has already started a move on international platforms to talk about this issue of decriminalizing a certain class of substances, offering more support and strategies to policing of organized crime that brings in illicit substances, but also to provide harm reduction measures. I know Cape Town, I think Tshwane, Metro of Tshwane, has been piloting projects of needle replacement, of safe spaces for people to consume. This does not necessarily sit well with many, many people. And I like your thoughts on how political parties in the run-up to a 2024 election and how we deal with an anti or a harm reduction strategy. How would you want a next government, metros and provinces, to be dealing what is a crisis of substance abuse, noting that substances do have an impact, or the abuse of substance does have an impact on our communities?
Yeah, has a massive impact on communities. But the way to combat that is not to go for the substances necessarily. It's to go for the cause of the substance dependence, which is not necessarily the drug. It happens in a context. And really, when young people have lost all hope and faith and meaning in their future and are making decisions based on the short term because they don't believe they're going to be around that long, then you've got a population that's ready for drug dependence, and in particular heroin, which is tremendously comforting for people. So, you know, they're not taking it to get high even. People are taking it just to escape the awfulness of their lives or the past traumas that they've got. I think we really need to be dealing with that. And also we need to be creating the space for people to get support and continued support while they find the means of recovering from their dependency.
Yeah, you've described that speaking to people who are dependent on heroin. Some have told you that heroin is like lying in the arms of my mother and my lover at the same time. I feel at peace. It's a way for people to protect themselves in a world where they have very little hope of their future, Sean?
Absolutely. It's an analgesic, you know, both pharmaceutically and emotionally as well. And we know that, for example, that people who go into abstinence-based recovery from heroin are at much higher risk of suicide. They're also at a higher risk of overdose, because if they go back and use the same dose, they're going to overdose. So we really need to treat the people with a level of care and comfort. And I know that a lot of people will disagree with that, but the evidence says that it works. We're not saying accept criminal behavior or that kind of thing. I always say that people have to take responsibility for their actions, whether they're on drugs or not. But we do need to provide the means for people to get better, because after all, it is society as a whole that leads to these kind of issues becoming so epidemic in size, you know.
Really appreciate your time. Sean Shelley is a consultant on drug policy in South Africa.